William Quagmush, Ben Milstead with you. Ben, I had a good night on Underdog last night. Played three games, won one, lost one, and got one refunded to me because, silly me, I just assumed James Harden was going to play. What an idiot. But I was getting good value with James Harden's assist total last night, so tried to play that. Did not work like I planned. Actually probably rescued me from a worse fate. I just saw that Mikael Brown Jr. from Louisville is out against Duke tonight. So I'm thinking a lot of Cam Boozer. In fact, I'm thinking a lot of Cam Boozer in that matchup. I will be playing Underdog a little bit later on. With that in mind, Underdog is the best place to play daily fantasy. There's no doubt about it. Full NBA night, full college basketball night. Here's how you play. Go higher or lower on your favorite player's stats, and if you're really good, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. You can play in South Carolina. Here's how. Download the app today. Use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18+ and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play. Get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.ncpgambling.org.
That Louisville-Duke game tonight, it will be an important one in the league, but Louisville went from a 2.5-point favorite to a 1.5-point underdog.
That will be the Brown news.
Exactly.
They were holding out hope that he could play, and he's not. Now, that is a road game for Duke. We know that Duke plays 50-11 neutral site games in the pre-conference. So going to another team's arena is a stark contrast for them. They also claim home arenas in 19 American cities and 5 tropical destinations. So wherever they play, they're playing a home game. It's remarkable how that happens.
We were talking about the FCS championship on the other side of the break. One other thing that I did notice last night, Quok, is, again, I watched a little over half of that game. There's no mention of transfers, although there were some. No mention of NIL, no mention of agents. It's just, you know, it was like, hey, look, here's this great player that was recruited by Montana State, and he's been there 3 years, and how about this?
Leagues? No mention of conferences?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And they could have, like, Big Sky, like, you would think that Montana State, they'd have been playing the SEC. Because that's the best conference in FCS right now. You didn't see a lot of that last night.
It was just unadulterated football.
And it does exist, thankfully. Now, like you said, some of those kids in that game will end up in the portal, and some players from other teams are going to end up at those places.
Where are you going, Coach? Going to get me a taco. There you go.
Oh, that's good.
I'll be
that's
here all
good.
Day.
We got this text. We've been talking college football. We've been talking a little bit about the portal and so forth. We got a text earlier that I thought was interesting about, oh my goodness, wait. I'm not going to be able to move past this.
What's that?
Before we go to the text from earlier, I just saw a name pop in the portal that is objectively hilarious. Okay.
What?
Now, you'll recall that Damon Wilson, when I say that name, does that ring a bell? Damon Wilson.
Yes.
Okay. Damon Wilson and Georgia are suing each other for basically money owed in an NIL split when Wilson transferred from Georgia to Missouri. And guess who's back in the portal?
Mr. Wilson.
Damon Wilson is leaving Missouri with a pending lawsuit stemming from the last time he left the place. Ben, I got to be honest. If I was miserable at Missouri, I probably would settle that lawsuit, both of them, before I leave a place. I don't know how you do it. How would you do business with Damon Wilson?
Yeah, so are you going to look at a guy that's a two-time transfer in as many years and is suing one of those? Well, I guess did he play for Missouri?
No,
he hasn't played for Missouri yet.
I don't believe so. Didn't that just happen?
That all just happened. Yeah, so he's gone to Missouri, and now he's changed of heart.
I believe that's right. Yeah, Yeah.
I guess you're still a two-time transfer though.
I gotta make sure of that. I'm
regardless,
pretty
I ain't touching him.
Oh no. No. Not with a 10-foot pole. Here's the timeline for Wilson. He did play for Missouri last season. 20 tackles, 9 sacks, 1 interception. PFF graded him the number 33 pass rusher.
I guess we just heard about the Georgia.
The lawsuit's new.
Okay, that's what it is.
The lawsuit's new. That's what it was. Yeah, Damon Wilson. Okay, yeah, Wilson was great at Missouri this year. That's right. Yeah, that was confusing because of when it came out and how it came out. Texter asks, why have we not seen as many offensive players linked to Clemson as defensive players? And it's an interesting question. It's actually one that I've been asking as well. There are a couple reasons why I think. The main reason is probably that you needed to be able to tell somebody who your coordinator was. Like, realistically, if you're not just dropping a major bag or going after guys that are just, like, intrinsically tied to your school that for whatever reason you didn't go after before or didn't pick you before, they're going to need to know some specifics about how they're going to be used in your system. And so Clemson just got Chad Morris on board. It makes more sense because they know what Tom Allen's defense looks like. Clemson can sell them on how they're going to be used on defense. You can't sell somebody on an offense that doesn't exist. Well, now the offense exists. So you can have credible conversations. Now, there have been a couple of guys, like offensive tackle, for example, from Georgia Southern, that's been linked to Clemson. There are a couple of guys in there. But I would expect that you're going to see more offensive players. There's another side of this, though. And I did a little exercise, Ben, and you're going to be shocked when I tell you this. I have a spreadsheet. And
what?
Yeah, we're going to have to nerd alert the spreadsheet here because it's a doozy.
Nerd alert!
Whoa, wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me that this is a nerd alert?
That's right, Marty. We've entered a nerd alert.
So we're talking about Clemson's positional needs, and I thought to myself, let's try to make a two deep. Let's just do it. Just for funsies. What would it look like, okay? Before any portal activity, except that corner where Elliot Washington II is in there. So I just want to spend a little time, okay? We just do this little exercise for a few minutes and just try to plot out a first team and second team on both sides of the ball for Clemson right now. And I think you'll note that while the offense was majorly disappointing last year, that it is much easier to come up with a reasonable two deep on offense than it is on defense.
Exactly. Brian in Greenville on the text line points out you haven't seen as many offensive side because hardly any have left. It's all been on the defensive side.
Here is the offensive two deep as I see it right now. This is your number one offense, Ben. I'm taking some liberties with a couple positions, but you tell me if you have any issues with this starting 11, okay? Christopher Vezina. We probably could stop right there. Christopher Vezina, Gideon Davidson, Bryant Wesco, TJ Moore, Tyler Brown, Olsen Pat Henry, Braden Jacobs, Harris Sewell, Colin Sadler, Elijah Thurman, Ronan O'Connell. I kind of just took some liberties with those last couple.
Olsen Pat Henry was probably the only one, you know, maybe that I might that might not have been the first name to come to my mind. It does look. I was told that he was going to hit the portal. And new info today sounds like he is negotiating a return here. We'll see.
You could put Bentancur there and it'd be fine.
But that would be my only other one there. But, I mean, when you have Bentancur and Keith Brookings on the roster, maybe that would be the only one. But you're at least still going to have some options there.
Like, to me, if you're looking at your skill guys, and again, the Vezina piece is what it is, okay? Yes. You would think that Clemson could use an upgrade at quarterback. But the other pieces around, like you're telling me the skill around my quarterback, if everybody's healthy, is Davidson, Wesco, Moore, Brown, and Pat Henry. I'm telling you, that's really freaking good. Like, you might not be excited about Vezina going into LSU, but I'll take that five into LSU, and I feel like I'm going to move the ball.
And by the way, I said Keith Brookings. That'd be awesome to have.
That would be great, too. Logan Holy Brookings. Cow. If we're going to get to linebacker.
Logan Brooking. There's no S.
Can Keith play linebacker? Because we're going to get to the defense in a minute. We're taking applications. The offensive line does. I don't love it. I don't love the offensive line. So that would be one where I'm like, okay, you'd like at least one starter on the offensive line. Like, if you're telling me my first five is Jacob, Sewell, Sadler, Thurman, and some combination of O'Connell, Wade, and Pennington or Blanchard, I'm like, I don't love that.
You and I also expect them to add at least one from the portal.
That's right.
On the offensive line. So
that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, the only position where you don't love the first group is maybe like one or two starting caliber offensive linemen. Now, you do have 12 returners, even with Rowan Byrne hitting the portal this morning. Rowan Byrne is out. You have 12 returners on scholarship, and you have 6 freshmen on scholarship coming in. So you have 18 offensive linemen already. So there's not a ton of room there from a personnel standpoint unless others hit the portal. And those are just recruited guys. That's not counting, for example, Chad Pendergrass, who I've talked about before. It's a guy that they probably like a decent amount. Here's your second group, okay? And this is where we start, like, can you do a two deep on offense? Denson, Haynes, Cole Turner. If Tristan Smith gets his waiver, you could do Smith. Cole Turner, Naeem Burrows, Gordon Sellers, or Connor Salmon. Those are two, like, I would say two of your incoming freshmen. Or you could go with a Clark Sanderson, perhaps. That's not a great unit. Tight end would be Ben Kerr, or Pat Henry, or Brooking, or whoever. And then your offensive line would be something like, again, unless one of the freshmen pops, just the returners would be like Mason Wade, Dietrich Pennington, Gavin Blanchard, Easton Ware, Ian Reed. Not a great two deep, but some like second and third year guys there. Maybe you could use a depth portal piece on the offensive line. Maybe a depth receiver if Smith's waiver's not approved. But you're too deep at running back, you can win with Davidson and Haynes. You're too deep at receiver, you can do that. They're not going to portal at quarterback. And wide receiver-wise, you're like 4 or 5 deep with guys that you feel like, okay, especially if the freshmen are what we think that they are.
I think they can win with that running back room. I hope they're right. I do feel better knowing Jay Haynes is going to come back and, you know, we assume 100%. But it is nice that he's been sort of sitting on the shelf this year and you get him back. But I'd still love to have more there. Eze Amumu does sound like he is coming back also.
Correct. So that, I mean, you're pretty shallow in the running back room, but you have, from a two deep standpoint, it's workable.
You at least have bodies.
We're getting to maybe not bodies on the defensive side. I'll just start with defensive line. First string defensive line. Will Hell, Jaheim Lawson, Vic Burley, Amari Adams. How are we feeling about that?
Not great. I don't think that's what it'll be, but that's what it is today.
I
think you're going to beef up that interior.
You feel good. I feel good about Helt, Lawson, and Adams. I am going to need to see more from the Burley, Thompson, Brown, Shuler, Makai Williams, Lee brigade at defensive tackle.
I need more in the middle there.
Linebacker, Sammy Brown, Jeremiah Alexander. And then your second group is like Drew Woodaz and Kobe McLeod probably. CJ Kuba-Taylor maybe. Feels like a portal, doesn't it, for one depth linebacker?
And maybe not even depth. I mean, they are talking to what's the kid from Cal?
From Cal.
That is – I'll get the information on him. Freshman of the year, defensive freshman of the year last year.
He had 80-some tackles.
ACC. And they're connected to him. So maybe a rotational – situation with all those guys.
If you add one of those, I mean, you'd love to have both, the kid from Cal and the kid from Southern Cal. If you add one of those two, that's a very workable 2D. Very workable. Secondary is Hampton and Strozier as your starting corners. And then your starting safeties as of right now are one of Ronan Hannafin, Kylan Griffin, Noah Dixon, I would say. You could do a little Corian Gibson, Noah Dixon audition at nickel, perhaps. And then you got to put Elliot Washington the second in there. To me, you're too deep at corner is Hampton and Washington, and then the second group is potentially Strozier and Gibson or Shavar Young if you're moving Gibson to nickel. Point being, I'm going to get another corner. Like, I'm not satisfied with just one corner. And then, again, I'm going four safeties deep, and I'm not counting Kentavion Henderson from Dorman, but he certainly could be in the mix here. Ronan Hanifin, Kylan Griffin, Noah Dixon, Kylan Webb, Ja'Kerion Keenan, Joe Wilkinson. I'm going to need, like, two or three safeties.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually like to not have anyone, just being honest, I would like to see none of those names on the safety depth chart. Maybe one as your fourth guy. But, like, I think your three best safeties have to come from the portal. So, again, we're talking about from an organizational need, you probably need a running back in there just for an extra, like a fifth body and maybe to slot in the middle, maybe a second or third running back. You need maybe a receiver to be on the depth chart in case one or more of your freshmen don't pan out because of injury or some other thing. You need a starting offensive lineman and maybe a second-team offensive lineman to try to bridge the gap there. But on defense, you need one or more defensive tackles, maybe a defensive end, one or more linebackers, couple of corners, and maybe three safeties. So just from a numbers, again, that whole exercise was just to say the reason you have more defensive than offensive players is because there is a significantly greater need on defense than offense. Now, we're getting some pushback on that. And I want to talk about this coming back because a texter basically said, so you're saying the offense is going to stay around 65th?
Well, and I agree with the texter. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. Interestingly, we certainly talked about the hire of Chad Morris yesterday. I don't know if we talked about his contract. I know that we didn't on the air. Did you see the clause in his contract about where the offense will rank?
Yes.
Yeah. Now his contract is like $1.2 million. He has a 3-year fully guaranteed contract. It is heavily incentivized with postseason, so he can make a lot more than that if postseason success follows. Like if he makes a national championship game, he can about double his salary. And we'd all be happy to pay that, right?
Love that, yes.
But I thought it was fascinating that Clemson offense has to finish in the top 20% within the next 2 years or his third year is not guaranteed. In other words, if he doesn't get the offense to top 20 in the nation, they can fire him and not pay that third year. That's the way you read that?
Yes. That's what it feels like to me. So it's a 2-year contract it works.
Yeah, you're right. If it works, it's a 3-year contract. If it doesn't work, it's a 2-year contract. 20th in the nation is – that's ambitious. I mean, like, that's putting your money where your mouth is.
That's a big step. That's a big step up from the offense this year.
I mean, you're betting over $1 million that you can get them to 20th in the nation. Sign me up for that.
I agree. We'll talk more about that on the other side. We got a phone call too as well. 654 Roars, the number. Hour 2 continues next.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Does your AC run nonstop, yet your home never feels comfortable? If rooms are too hot or too cold and your attic feels like an oven, the problem may be above your ceiling. At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we help homeowners take control with blown-in insulation and solar attic fans. Blown-in insulation fills gaps, while solar attic fans push heat out and ease strain on your HVAC system. You may qualify for up to a $1,050 Duke Energy rebate. Call Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779.
Estes Heating and Air is here to keep your family cool in the summer and warm in the winter with premium Heil units, supercharged with 100 years of superior engineering and quality manufacturing. Estes is Clemson alumni-owned and celebrating 26 years of serving Tiger fans across Oconee, Pickens, and Greater Greenville. Be sure to like their Facebook page for giveaways, promotions, and specials. That's E-S-T-E-S Heating and Air on Facebook to win prizes and receive specials on HVAC services and installs to keep your family comfortable all year long with Heil units. Depend on them.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit tigermovinggreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Get ready to relive one of the greatest moments in music history. On January 10th, the Walhalla Performing Arts Center presents Randomonium, a tribute to the 1985 Live Aid Festival. This South Carolina-based variety band is famous for its incredible range, covering generations of music, genres, and moods. From iconic classics to unforgettable anthems, Randomonium brings the energy and excitement of Live Aid back to life in one spectacular night. Don't miss this epic performance. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
Hi, I'm Chef Franklin Becker. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. There's only one FDA-approved Ozempic, made by Novo Nordisk. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit Ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
It's a new year, and Aleve is here to help you keep your New Year's resolutions on track. Whether it's a daily walk, hitting the gym, or spending more time with friends and family, Aleve's got your back. With up to 12 hours of body pain relief per dose, Aleve keeps you moving with long-lasting body pain relief so you can chase those dreams and achieve your goals. Don't let body pain slow you down. Keep going with Aleve, because this year is your year. Try Aleve. Use as directed for minor aches and pains.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for Clemson men's and women's basketball. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Segment brought to you by our good friends at Industrial Motor Service, industrialmotorservice.com in Anderson, South Carolina, serving the upstate and surrounding areas for over 30 years now. They service and repair and replace electric motors, pumps, gearboxes, fans, blowers, anything along those lines. They can keep you up and running at all times. That's their goal. To keep you up and running, because when you downtime means you are losing revenue. They have fast turnaround times, expert technicians that can come to you. They have 24/7 emergency repair available. And again, when something does break down, their goal is to get you back up and running as fast as you possibly can. homeowners, if you have swimming pool pumps, spa pumps, they can also help you out with those types of things. Jot that website down. Take a look at it. Get their information there. Keep that on file for when you need it. IndustrialMotorService.com.
Texter says this from the 864. I work for a motor manufacturer these guys support. Great company.
The great company and, honestly, better people. I've known Doug a long time. Great people.
Before we go to Jason in Columbia, let me just say this. I've said this many times, and I will echo this. I think all of us, I won't want to say all of it, that's crazy. Most of us would be more comfortable if Clemson went a more aggressive direction at quarterback. Clemson's quarterback play this year was not irreplaceable. Like, I think we're closer to doing this, but I'll just reiterate something I said a few weeks ago. We have to get out of our brains that because all of this talent dispersed, that Clemson's going to be worse. Because what happened is the talent that Clemson lost, that is talented, didn't do squat. Like, on defense, you're telling me that I got to replace the first-round talent that produced like that? Okay, line up a bunch of, like starter-level guys at 100 different programs, and I'll just pick the ones I want. The production that Clemson is losing is not irreplaceable. Christopher Vezina, in actuality, is worse than Cade Klubnik, but on paper, is worse than Cade Klubnik. In actuality, he might still be worse than Cade Klubnik, but he's not significantly worse than Cade Klubnik. If you've got conviction in the run game, if you've got Gideon Davidson in year two, if you've got a healthy core of older receivers now going to year three, and you've got an offense that's going to take more effective shots down the field.
I do think it's possible he can be at least as good as Cade Klubnik. I would agree with you with that. My frustration lies in the fact that I don't think that is good enough.
Correct.
And you don't either. And you have the opportunity to be better than that.
They're not going to get to 20. I'd be stunned if they got it. This would be on. I'd be stunned if they got to 20. But could they get to 40? Like, could Clemson go from 65 in total offense to 40?
If Clemson gets to 20, they're winning the ACC.
Yes. Because I think Tom Allen's defense is going to be way better.
Or at least playing for it.
100%.
Miami's not going to go away.
100%. And you know what? There are some concerns on the defensive side. Personnel concerns on the defensive side of the ball. But what about the players that Clemson lost is irreplaceable?
I know that some of the, even on the defensive side, look, you're going to have some names called on night one of the NFL draft. I get that. There's really only like one of those guys sorry to see leave.
Right.
Just being honest with you. And I think I keep referencing back to Tom Allen talking about the portal and what type of player he wants. And this was in the middle of the season. I am convinced, Kwok, that he was all but telling us, I don't care who leaves, because this group ain't getting it done.
Correct. Go.
And he had enough confidence that he could rebuild at least what was there and most likely better.
Do you know the difference between 63rd and 40th in yards per play is a quarter of a yard per play? So, like, when we're saying Clemson get from 63rd to 40th, that's literally what we're talking. We're talking about an extra yard per series of downs. That's all it is. The difference between, this is a little more significant, the difference between 63rd and 20th is about 3/4 of a yard per play. And if you're looking at yards per game, the difference between where Clemson is right now, which actually after all the games played is tied for 64th with Missouri State. The difference between Clemson at 64th and Utah State at 40 is 17.3 yards. That is literally two more first downs or one more big play a game. It is not that difficult to go from 63rd to 40th. Now, 20th is 446.4. That's like 50 yards. So that's a significant, and that's why I say, like, getting Clemson a 40th is way, way doable. Going from 40th to 20th is the hard part. Going from, like you said, being in the mix to win the ACC and in the mix to go to the playoff versus being for sure the favorite in the ACC, that's the gap that's going to be hard to bridge. But getting Clemson a 40th, like significantly better from a positional standpoint this year, is not that hard. If you have conviction about what you're doing and a lot of your players are returning and you feel good about the system that you're in. Let's go to Jason in Columbia, who's up with us next. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Hey, I did want to circle back to what you're talking about right now. If it's okay, I just want to make a quick jump back to, I love the discussion about the championship game from last night with
sure.
Montana State.
Yeah, man.
And there were some, like you said, a lot of it was a comedy of errors with the 9 false starts and the block kicks. I mean, it's unbelievable. But some of those kids made some incredible, the wide receivers on both sides. There was a Lord kid on the Illinois State team that was just breaking tackles left and right to score touchdowns. And then you had the Taco kid on Montana State. And then there was the other guy that, like, jumped over somebody and then ran into the end zone. Or that might have been Lord.
That
actually.
Was Lord also.
There were some. Okay. Yeah, there was just some incredible plays. I will say this, too. I felt so bad for whoever the player was for Illinois State on third down that dropped the deflection. I mean, he had a chance to end the game in overtime when they on third down and 10, when the guy threw to the middle of the field on a slant and it got batted up in the air and the Illinois State kid had it in his hands and could have ended the game right there. And you know, it's so interesting what you were talking about, Kwok, with, I mean, they sent the Reggie Herring apocalypse on fourth
That's
down.
That's it. That's exactly what it was, man.
Yeah. But and normally, like, it's like, hey, I'm all about aggression. We like it as fans. But and if you watch the Division III game the night before, it was basically an upstart in River Falls going against, like, the current dynasty, North Central. And they ran the apocalypse in the fourth quarter, like, multiple times, and it worked, and it helped them win. But here's the problem. I actually saw a clip on this because when they ran it on fourth down, I'm like, you can't leave a safety on off coverage against that Taco kid. That's just burnt toast right there.
Yes, that's right.
And it was an easy completion. And you know what made it worse, guys? Someone on Twitter actually put it up. Both teams basically ran the exact same plays on third and fourth down. And what happened is on third down when they ran the pocket blitz, the quarterback kind of panicked and threw it to the slant, which was covered. It was basically just like a Madden play. It was double slants with a corner route. And they came back, Kwok, and ran the exact same play. And they saw on both plays the Taco kid was wide open. And on fourth down, they just told the quarterback, throw it to Taco this time. And it worked. So, I mean, I guess you tip your cap to the offensive coordinator and the coaches on that side of the ball. But that was my problem just with the Taco blitz. You can't run the same exact thing on third and fourth down in that situation. I felt bad for that team. But anyway, hey, on your discussion right now, and I agree with what you guys were saying at the beginning of the show too, you know, recruiting has taken such a back seat now, and I guess, I mean, at a lot of places, but it feels like especially for us at Clemson, like it's kind of depressing to think, like I wonder, will we ever get a prospect like Trevor Lawrence again? Like it just wouldn't happen right now, it feels. But this portal activity has been like a major boon. Like you said, man, I'm all over Tiger Illustrated refreshing, and it's just fun to read about. It gives you that juice, man. It used to be so fun to just lock in on recruiting day. And I won't lie, man, there were some times I took the day off. You know, I mean, I just had a terrible overnight flu, just brutal. And, you know, it was awesome just following. You know, it was so exciting, man. It was fun. You know, it's a little bit more just like, helter skelter now, because obviously there's no like clear, okay, this is a 4-star prospect, this is a 5-star, so every 5-star is going to turn into Trevor Lawrence, obviously. But you still at least were operating in the framework of, okay, this is a 4 and a 5-star, and I'm super excited. And now it's more just kind of, let's just look at the kid's physical attributes and look at a little game tape. And hey, the kid from Penn State is fast, we need him. You know, you get excited about that. But And one last thing on the quarterback discussion. I mean, yes, like most fans, I do find it kind of perplexing that we apparently have all this money that we can spend, but we're just not going to spend it on that one position. But I ask myself this. When you're talking about being able to replace the outgoing talent, and in this case, Cade, what would the – I mean, even if it's Garrett Riley, Chad Morris, whatever. What would the Garrett Riley offense have looked like this year if you just took Cade's mental blocks off as a governor? And so, I mean, that is one thing. What if, and I'm being pie in the sky here, what if Vezina is the guy and he gets out there and he doesn't have Cade's mental blocks and he hits the open receivers and makes the easy throw and just diagnoses the play? That'll be something to definitely watch for. And you're right. Even though we are having some like name guys lead the program, that not to me, this program needed a bloodletting at pretty much all levels. And I'm not like overly concerned that that's going to be a net negative.
I agree with you on that, Jason. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Hey, Scott, hang on. We'll come see you on the other side. I want to go ahead and go to break and not cut you short. This hour brought to you by our friends at Arthrex, careers.arthrex.com. That, ladies and gentlemen, is, well, that's a website. That's where you go. They have tons of locations all over the United States, all over the world. They also have one right here in Pendleton, Sandy Springs. Right now, they're showing 21 available jobs at that campus. And everything from the manufacturing side to quality assurance to IT to engineering to human resources. They have something for you at careers.arthrex.com. They are doing everything possible to keep to put a weekend warriors, professional athletes, everybody in between back in the game. That's what Arthrex does. They are on the forefront of surgical and orthopedic technology, and they are doing it better than everybody. For more now, you can be a part of their great team. Take advantage of that sprawling campus with all the amenities and all the great benefits. careers.arthrex.com. Scott, we're coming right to you on the other side. Hour two continues after this.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7 so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
Weight loss is hard. I know for a lot of you, you feel that. You understand that because you've been trying to lose weight for years. Maybe you lost weight successfully in the past. Now you put on a few pounds, you want to drop them, and it's just harder than it used to be. Well, it's not because you don't have enough willpower. It's not because your body's broken. It's just the natural result of slowing metabolism. Well, at PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks with PhD Weight Loss, and it's because they got to the bottom of my metabolism slow, and then they sped up my metabolism so that I was burning fat like I used to when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. It's incredible, and that's why I've been in the maintenance program for 5 years now, because that's the result that I've seen. That's the result I want you to see as well. If you want to understand why your body's not cooperating, call PhD now. Mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year special. It's free. It's personalized. And they can explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphcweightloss.com.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I've partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
If Christmas spending left you juggling multiple payments, high interest rates, and a little too much stress, it's time to relax. Simplify your finances with a New Year's personal loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. Consolidate debt into one payment with a quick application, a range of loan amounts, and excellent service, paired with a suite of financial products and services. Stop by a Founders location near you or visit foundersfcu.com/personal loans to apply for a personal loan today. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
What's Kwok ranting about?
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing it really, really well.
Find out weekdays from noon to 3, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, hour two continues. Eric Mackling going to join us in the next segment. We'll go to Scott in Greenville momentarily. First, let me tell you about Block Haven, BLOCHaven.com. It should be your haven for a great workout, a great mental break, a great problem-solving exercise, a great group outing, a great kid's birthday party. Whatever the case, they've got something for you at Block Haven. Again, this is a place where you can explore the great world of bouldering, just free climbing walls, man. Over 200 problems. They change out monthly, so it can be a part of your workout. It can be just an individual experience. You could take your kids, let them play, and enjoy a coffee or a bite to eat or something at the cafe there. It's a great spot, too. Great location right there in the Judson Mill area of Greenville. Go by and see them today. Mention The Roar. Get 20% off that first day pass at Block Haven. That's B-L-O-C Haven. com. Scott in Greenville joins us next. Scott, thanks for your patience.
Kwok, it is beginning of January, I guess, and we're running air conditioning in the vehicle.
Oh, boy.
How about that?
That's tough.
Out by my pool right now, cleaning out my dolphin. If you've got a swimming pool and you don't have a dolphin, you're missing out, brother.
You doggone right.
That's the trick. Anyway, hey, Jason stole a little bit of my thunder. You know, a few weeks ago, I was sweating, man. I was like, and I'm a part-time fan, and I say part-time because I have a full-time job. I'm a full-time grandpa, got a life outside of football. So I'm a fan when I can be. You guys, on the other hand, you live it, you talk it every day. You guys are full-time fans. Dabo Sweeney, that's his job. So I have to trust that he's going to handle all that as a fan. And a few weeks ago, I'm sweating bullets because I'm like, man, we got to have an OC. We got to have portal quarterback. We got to have all this stuff. And if we don't get a quarterback out of the portal, we're toast. But like Jason just said, we get Morris, and I start thinking the wheels start turning. If Vezina can come in and not have the breakdowns that Cade had, we might be on to something. And Dabo knows this. I got to trust that that's what's going to happen. I got to trust that he knows, you know, better than we do that's the situation. But if we don't have an offensive line, I don't care who we put back there. It ain't going to matter. So I would rather put portal dollars into the trenches than I would to be a quarterback that we are getting good quarterbacks. I mean, Benson looked pretty good against Furman, but it's Furman. We got Tate Reynolds coming in. We got Vezina, who's been sitting in the system for 3 years. I mean, why not? He had one start, but he had 300 yards of passing, right?
That's right.
You know, so let's give him a shot. Let's see what he's got. I'm okay with that.
Well, this is my thing. Now, I agree with you on this. Let me say this real quick. You're talking about offensive line. To me, I think it is a conviction in the run game that will better set the quarterback up for success. Like, I believe if Christopher Vezina is seventh in the ACC in quarterback rating, which Cade Klubnik was, And if he is, let's see, let me make sure I'm right on this, 8th in the ACC in yards per attempt. If that's true of Christopher Vezina, he'll have more than 16 touchdowns, which is all Cade had throwing the ball. Only 16 passing touchdowns. Didn't throw a passing touchdown against the FBS team in his final four games against FBS competition. If you run the ball better and have better conviction in the run game, it's going to open up those opportunities. And Christopher Vezina showed us, without a real consistent run game, that he could do that against a very inept secondary at SMU. That's kind of where I'm. And again, I don't know that Vezina's going to be better than Cade, but I think acting like he's going to be worse than Cade, and there's no doubt about it, it just sort of overshoots what Cade did statistically this year.
But it also shifted my focus. Not only do I I'm not worried about quarterback, I'm more concerned about running back, because if we don't have that running, look what Alabama did for years down there without a superstar quarterback, just a manager. All they had was a game. And Georgia, you think Stetson Bennett was an all-world quarterback?
No.
He was just a manager, you know?
And he had some moxie, though. Like, he had some playmaking ability, too.
He had some moxie. But I'm just saying, and A.J. McCarron at Alabama, you know, McElroy, I mean, good Lord. Greg McElroy can, you know, do it. You know, so I just think that there's hope there that we need to be more focused on the trenches and at a running back than we do. And it's going to be so funny, because all these people that are bashing Chad Morris and we should have got a portal quarterback are going to be the same ones standing on the top of the stadium shouting their praises when it works. If it fails, they're going to be on the stadium shouting their praises when it didn't work. But they either way, so it's just going to be funny to watch and see how all that's going to turns out. But enjoying the show, enjoying the discussion. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the phone call.
It does feel like the venom towards Chad Morris has died down in the last 24 hours. So there's that. And I, by the way, Scott, I agree with everything you said. And that's why I have been so vocal about the running back room, because I think if you're going to go with Vezina, and all indications are that that's what Sweeney's going to go with, then you better give him a no doubt backfield. That better. If that's not your plan A, at least it can be your plan B.
That's right.
I'm going to give you the sunshine pumping, optimist view of Christopher Vezina.
All right.
If you've listened to me this in the last week, you know where I stand on quarterback.
This is okay? Hard for Ben.
So I'm playing devil's advocate in the positive sense here. I don't care, and I mean this either way. I don't care what he did against Furman. You were as vanilla could be. The rest of the team stopped playing. I don't care who that is. If that's Trevor Lawrence, I don't care about that game. You saw one game where they game planned for Christopher Vezina to be the quarterback, and he started that, and it was a bad – nobody's going to pretend like SMU's defense was good. They were not. But he looked nervous out of the gate. Remember, they just threw, like, at the line of scrimmage about 10 straight times to start that game, which was a good thing for a new quarterback. In the second half of that game – when you are trailing and you've got to put points on the board, he was 16 of 25 for 205 yards, two touchdowns. 65%. Not terrible. Remember he had the long pass to, who was that, T.J. Moore?
Yeah, that's right. Right there up the seam.
I think Tristan Smith caught one in the second half there. So the second half of that SMU game, he was pretty good. And that's when a lot of folks, you know, sort of got on board with him. And then he lost them again in the Furman game for whatever reason. Again, I'd say forget Furman. I don't feel like that's representative of what he can do. So that's my – if you want to be the optimist, if you're looking for the, you know, something to be positive about, there you go. Personally – I'm not necessarily buying what I'm trying to – I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just taking the other side here.
Can I give you a – I'm going to double down on this. I love what you did right there.
But it's also factual what I just said.
That's right. You didn't say anything out of pocket. I mean, you didn't say anything wrong. I think we're framing SMU's defense a little bit weird. What if I told you, Ben, and there could be reasons for it, what if I told you that SMU's defense, passing defense, defended three more passes per game than every other team in America this year?
So, in other words, America knew their secondary wasn't very good and they threw the ball a lot.
Possibly. But, like, for example, Clemson defended 37.2 pass attempts per game. That was tied for second most. Louisiana Tech and Clemson, 37.2. SMU defended 40.2 passes per game. So, of course, they gave up more yards because they're defending three more passes per game. I would argue, if you look at numbers like, and I'm not going to argue that SMU is a good pass defense. I'm going to argue that SMU isn't a doo-doo sandwich. If you look at things like completion percentage, SMU is decidedly average as a pass defense. If you look at yards per attempt, they're like 56th. You look at yards per attempt, SMU is 63rd in pass defense. That's like dead in the middle of the country. You look at things like interceptions, SMU had 18 interceptions. Only six FBS teams had more interceptions than SMU. You know who didn't throw an interception against that secondary? Christopher Vezina. Yeah. You know who did? Carson Beck, Darian Mensah. A lot of people threw interceptions against that secondary. And then you look at opponent's quarterback rating, SMU was 56th. So I think if you're looking at more of the quality stats in there, as opposed to just defended more passes, gave up more yards, SMU is not the worst defense in America. It's just the defense that defended far and away the most passes in America. It's actually an average pass defense and maybe not even the worst passing defense that Clemson faced this year.
A lot of good texts about Vezina in that SMU game. And, you know, several have talked about just how much more comfortable he looked as the game went on. He did make, as I recall, much better decisions in the second half. And that's where, you know, when you were comparing him to Klubnik earlier, we don't know what decisions he would have made in that game, but we knew what he made in some others, and they weren't great.
That's right.
So,
he was more, when they were doing the horizontal stuff, the ball's just out quicker. It felt like the receivers were catching it with the ability to go make the play that was there a little more readily.
Yeah, well, we may be saying the same thing. I don't know if I would categorize it as quicker, but it was on time.
Yeah.
It was on time. He doesn't have the arm strength that Klubnik does.
No.
But, and, you know, Texter asked a really good question, and this is important with Chad Morris. Can Vezina run the ball well enough? Can he run the read option? See, I don't know that we know that, and what we have seen of him running the ball has not been impressive. To me, anyway. I mean, it does not look fast enough. But I will say this. We wouldn't have labeled Taj Boyd as a runner when he first came to Clemson, and Chad Morris made him into that.
That's right. Cade Klubnik looked like – these are the what-ifs that we never will know, okay? Because, you know, we've asked that question, what if Garrett Riley had the ability to run an offense with the quarterback he chose? What if Cade Klubnik operated an offense that wasn't coordinated by Garrett Riley? Because this year, Ben, Cade Klubnik had 94 rushing yards on 83 carries. That is flatly terrible. That is awful. Cade Klubnik is way more athletic than that. Last year, where he was much better as a passer, he had 463 rushing yards. We're not even talking about this. Cade Klubnik didn't even get to 100 rushing yards this year. They just didn't even run the – ever. They didn't ever run the quarterback.
Well, he did have – he was injured half the season.
That's true.
But then again, we've seen them run the injured quarterbacks in the past.
They didn't they run him in the South Carolina game late when they're trying to protect the lead?
When he's limping off the field and you're calling QB run.
Yes. So my point is, like, Vezina doesn't look as fluid as Klubnik, but even Klubnik didn't look like a fluid runner in this system. I could see Vezina, and I know we had that conversation about his weight earlier. You feel better about, like, 6'4", 210, just like sticking his nose in. A couple times a game, stick your nose in there, get a yard, fall forward.
Be interesting to see what he weighs at fall camp weigh-in. I bet you it's more than 210.
If he's 6'4", 220, you can Taj Boyd ram that sucker. A-gap, baby.
Texture said, I'm just ready to throw downfield and across the middle, stop the two-yard turnarounds. Well, I got some good news and bad news for you. I'll give you the bad first.
That's good. Start with that.
Morris loves the bubbles and tunnels, but he also loved them with Sammy Watkins.
True. And Artavis Scott.
And Artavis Scott. So a lot of that was they were things of beauty when those guys were the recipients of those passes. When he was here before, I recall him saying that his goal was to take a shot once per quarter. So he believes in the deep pass. He believes in keeping secondaries honest. I would assume that that is still his philosophy. So that's the good news side.
He also knows, Texter, that you can't just take shots without running the ball. And that's why this whole thing about Chad abandons the run is crazy, because you're not a shot taker if you don't first know how to establish the run and get safeties and linebackers staring and creeping. That's how you set up those shots. And I think my biggest question is, does Vezina have the arm strength to take a shot like that? Not a 20-yard post, but like a 50-yard bomb. To me, that's the biggest differential point we need to see from him in order to know he's remotely close to the guy. Eric McLean has thoughts. We'll talk to him next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5.